Amen. Aren't you thankful to the Lord for salvation? Amen. Praise the Lord. During these important services this month of March, we are on the Sunday morning services. We're going to be covering these four cardinal doctrines. And I can remember as a young person, just as really a child in Sunday school, learning things like the books of the Bible and learning things like these very important cardinal doctrines. And of course, today we're talking about salvation. And we're going to talk about next week, divine healing. The following week, the baptism and the Holy Ghost. And the fourth Sunday of the month of March, the second coming of the Lord. So those four cardinal doctrines that are so important to us, we'll be dealing with in these Sunday morning services. And we just thank the Lord this morning that we can talk about getting saved and being saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. I would say the majority of you here this morning, you're saved. And I just wonder if we could just have a little, take a couple of minutes here and just hear from different sections here. I'd like to know if you remember what year you got saved. Just kind of shout it out to me. What year did you get saved? 1975. Anybody else over here? 1982? Somebody else? Anybody? 1992. All right, let's move over to this section. What year did you get saved? 1958. Well, Brother Gilpin, I was 3 years old when you got saved. Amen. Who else? What year did you get saved? Somebody. 1988. All right. One more over here. What year? What year did you get saved? Over here. Brother Jack, 1950. Sister. 1949. Brother Huff. 1947, 1948, 1946. Cooney's been saved the longest so far. Who else? Anybody else? 1962, Brother Mike. 1964. How about over here? Glory to God. 2001. Are you coming up on your 10-year anniversary? Praise the Lord. Amen. Who else? Give me a year. Anybody? 1979, Becker. 1975. All those dates are spiritual birth dates. Amen. The year that your life was changed forever and eternity also changed. Praise God for the wonderful gift of salvation. This morning we're talking about salvation is God's idea. God's idea. Salvation and how important it is that we understand the importance of this important doctrine. We're going to start here in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to read beginning with verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 2, and there are just dozens and dozens of passages in the scripture that deal with salvation, because really, this book from the beginning to the end is the message of salvation. And when you read the Bible, you'll see salvation in every book of the Bible. You'll even see Jesus in every book of the Bible. If you are looking at the Word of God from that through the lens of salvation, you'll see it there, and so many wonderful examples and illustrations and so many types and shadows, all pointing to Jesus Christ, all pointing to this wonderful message that Jesus saves. How shall we escape? This is verse 3 of chapter 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection of the world to come, whereof we speak. But
But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should not taste death for every man.
Praise God. We'll stop right there. Wednesday night we were talking about the fall of man and how that sin entered into the world. And such an important thing for us to understand that we were born into this world with this sinful nature. And we inherited it from our forefathers, Adam and Eve, who were given the, you know, man being the crown of creation. And that was confirmed here in the book of Hebrews once again, that man was this crown of creation. Man was, in verse 7, crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. But the scripture describes the creation of man as the crown of creation, and that all creation was placed under his hand. He had dominion over everything that was created in this world, and God gave to man that special place of preeminence and crowned him as far as creation was concerned, and gave to him the capacity and the will and a conscience, and even to the point that a man could choose to sin, a man could choose to go against the will of God and against the plan of God. And we know that that's what happened. And man fell into darkness and fell into sin as a result of that choice to go away from God. And all of us now, everyone that is born into this world is born shapen in iniquity, born into sin and in need of a Savior. All mankind, the 7 billion people that inhabit this planet right now, they all have to come by way of the cross. Every one of them have to come by way of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that there is salvation in no other name. There's no other way that they can be saved. So that means that we have to include the 1.5 million or billion rather Muslims that are in this world, and the almost 1 billion Hindus that are in this world, and who are sincere and devout and dedicated to their cause. And many of them are so committed to what they believe that they would in an instant would lay down their life for what they believe in. But they're deceived. And there's no hope in Islam. It's a religion of darkness. There's no hope in Hinduism and other religions of the world. And I just mentioned those because those are the largest religions in the world. Now, they say that Christianity is the largest religion in the world, but under the category of Christianity, they put everything. They put Catholicism in there. They put the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons in there. They list the Eastern Orthodox in there. They list all kinds of varying religions that we would put in more into a category of some of cults rather than true evangelical believers. And so I don't know that there is an accurate number to describe how many Christians there are in this world. They say that there's 2 billion, but millions and millions of them are in these other sects that seem to come under the Christian label. But I do know this, that men that are saved because they have had an encounter with Jesus Christ. They have heard the gospel. They have repented of their sins, and they are saved today because they have reached out in faith and believed the Bible and what the Bible says about Jesus being our Savior. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And all of man's attempts to improve himself, man wants to improve himself physically. That's the reason why we have the religion of the gyms these days.
If you ever, I've left the church at 7 o'clock and drove down Myers Baker Road where that gym is back there. Now there's nothing wrong with gyms or exercise if it's put in the proper perspective, but I'm telling you that there will be more cars parked at that gym that certainly were at the prayer meeting or at most services that we would have here. There will be dozens of cars parked there early in the morning because they're there as a part of their religious activity there to start their day. Amen. Amen. Self-improvement, not only body, but mind and even spirit, is a self-attempt to salvation that is going to bring people to an end of themselves. When after Adam and Eve sinned, then they were changed. Their eyes were open. The Bible says that they hid themselves. They ran and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. That's what the scripture says. And then God comes to them and speaks to them about the sin that they have committed. And when you read the scripture there in chapter 3 in verse 21, that the Bible says that God, the Lord God, did make coats of skin and clothed them. Their attempt at covering themselves was fig leaves. But God instituted animal sacrifice and the shedding of blood. And not only did he shed the blood of that animal for the forgiveness of their sin that they had committed, but also used that animal skin to give them a physical covering as well. Amen. And so it was all part of the plan of God. And it's not, you know, whenever a person is saved, there is to be this complete work of salvation that not only touches you in spirit, but in mind and in body. And every part of you is affected by this wonderful work of salvation. Praise God. Amen. And what a blessed thing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, I mentioned on Wednesday night, I had traveled out after my uncle passed away last Friday. And I really felt that I needed to be there. And then they called and asked if I could conduct the funeral service. And a big part of the family that's on my mother's side of the family are not saved. A large majority of them. There were over 200 people at this funeral service, and a very large majority of them are not Christians. They need the Lord. But my uncle, J.B., really never served the Lord. Their family was close, very close to our family. This is my mother's sister's husband. They lived one house down from us for all the years I was growing up. And my mom babysat their kids at our house, so they were really almost like brothers and sisters when we were young. We've been away from each other a lot in our adult life, but there was a real closeness there. But the difference was when it came to God and the things of God, they went their own way. They lived their own life and had no interest in the things of God. But what we experienced last week was the extension of God's mercy in a way that is hard for me to even comprehend. I just know that there have been many prayers prayed for him. Somewhere along the line, about the night before he passed away, someone, and we assumed that it was probably some chaplain or someone that works in the chaplain's office there in the hospital, that came in and talked to my uncle, and different ones had already been talking to him about the Lord, and my mom and her husband some months ago had felt impressed to buy both of them Bibles. And they bought them both Bibles and had their names imprinted on them and took them to their house and didn't make a big show of it, but just said, here, we wanted to give this to you because we're concerned about you. And please read this. Please read this. And I don't know how much Bible reading has been going on, but I do know the seeds have been planted over a process of time and prayers have been prayed for many, many years. And so the next morning when the daughter, his daughter came in, he immediately began to talk to her and say, last night I made things right with God. I got right with God. And she said, you did? Yes. And he began to give her the details of what had happened and how that he had asked the Lord to forgive him for all of his sins. And everyone who came in the door, and you can see the evidence that a person has truly been born again when that's what they want to talk about. And everybody that came in the door, they wanted to. And so when my aunt came in, my mom's younger sister came in. She said, or he said to her, I gave my life to the Lord. I got saved and I got things right with the Lord. And she said, you did. Of course, she needs to too. Desperately needs to get right with the Lord. And he said, Jewel would be so proud of me, talking about my mom. And it was true that the Lord had done an amazing work of grace in him. And on that day in the funeral service, I could give the testimony to all of those people that were sitting there in that funeral service and tell them that God loves so much we can't even comprehend it. And his mercy is extended so far that we can't comprehend how that he could love and show mercy. But he does, and he will, to whosoever will believe upon the name of the Lord. But without Christ, men are hopeless. There's no hope. There's no hope for a world without Jesus Christ. That's why that we're sending missionaries. That's why we have a missions conference. That's why we give on a regular basis throughout the year. And that's why that we pray for our missionaries and we carry a burden for people who are working for the Lord all over the world because they have been called to go right into the front lines of those areas of the world where the gospel must be preached to people that are in need. That's why that we need as a church need to carry the burden because our primary responsibility here at First Pentecostal Church is to be truly a place where people can come and get help, spiritual help, and they can hear the gospel and they can be saved and turned from the life of sin that they are living. Amen. Number one, we need to remember that Jesus Christ is the source. He is the source. We read in the text there in Hebrews chapter number two, that it was at first began to be spoken by our Lord. It's in the mind of God, and it's hard for me to even comprehend this. I know that it's hard for us to truly understand the purpose and the plan of God, but the Bible says in the book of Revelation that before the foundation, that he is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, before the world was even created, and before man was even created. God in his foreknowing, his foreknowledge, understood what was going to happen to men who were given a conscience and a will to choose. And God knew that man was going to fail and fall into sin. And so this Lamb of God was provided before the world was even created. That's so hard to really understand, but he truly was. He's the source from eternity past. That Christ is the answer and he is the source. And we have become a society, and even in the United States of America now, whenever you speak of Christ being the exclusive only way that people can be saved, that you stir up a whole big problem with people who do not want to hear this message. But we must keep our commitment to the Word of God and not fall into the trap of believing, a religion that's culturally acceptable, but to preach a gospel that Christ is the only way. And Muslims without Christ are lost. And those in Hinduism are lost without Christ. And all these other multiplied millions of people. There's a billion, they say, atheist agnostics in the world today. They just say there is no God, or we don't want to even acknowledge that there is a God. A billion people in the world who want to ignore the reality of God. But without Jesus Christ, they're lost. And they're lost for all of eternity. And that's the simplicity of the gospel. But it is a reminder of the fact that Jesus Christ is the source. Luke chapter 19, there's the account of Zacchaeus, who was a man who was a tax collector. He was hated among the Jews. He was despised, but the Bible describes him as a man that he had heard about Jesus, and there was this curiosity stirred up in him. You know the story, and how that eventually that Jesus came to him, and he was invited into Zacchaeus' home, and salvation, the Bible says, came to his house. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by a false accusation, I restore him fourfold.
You see the evidence and the fruit that salvation really had come to Zacchaeus' house, because he was willing to go back and to make amends and restitution in the areas where he had sinned against people all over that city. He was ready to do what was necessary, because Jesus then said, this day salvation has come to your house. There has been a work of grace that has come to your house because you have acknowledged your sin and you want to make amends for the sins that you have committed. Amen. Amen. This message is an exclusive message. It is a narrow entrance. It's a narrow road. Amen. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way, the Bible says. And so as narrow and exclusive as it ought to give us even a greater compelling, a greater burden and a compassion for a world that is so far away from God that we want to do whatever that the Lord would give to us the means to do to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just saw a little video clip this was in Papua New Guinea. And one of the tribes there, when they only had a little small section of the scripture, there were hundreds of them that finally were going to get a copy of the Bible. And there was a man-made, just a simple little airstrip. And it showed all these hundreds of tribal people out there at the end of that man-made airstrip as the plane was landing, and they were jumping up and down. They were shouting and they were dancing and they were praising God because they were going to have the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were going to have their own copy of the New Testament, and they unloaded it to those tribal people, and the gospel was going to be taken into that remote village. And there are people who are giving their lives, who are sacrificing every day to take the gospel into these Muslim nations and into these many far remote areas of the world, because we know that that is their only hope. It is only through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other. Now, can it be any clearer than that? Is there salvation? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Franklin Graham, who wrote a book called No Other Name. And in that book, he very clearly and precisely pointed out the scriptures and gave the message that men couldn't be saved except through Jesus Christ. Franklin Graham has been ridiculed. He has been disinvited from many events where he had been previously invited to come and to pray over some event. And actually, there was one that was a Department of Defense type event that he was invited to come and to pray before this meeting began. But he was disinvited because that they categorized him as, you know, someone that was a bigot and someone that could not, that didn't have an open enough view to other religions of the world because he had declared no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Just what the Bible says. Amen. Jesus Christ is the source. Salvation is his idea. It's not man's idea. Man in his sin would just grovel on and get worse and worse in their sin. But it's when Christ comes and by his grace reaches out to them. He is the source. The second thing I want to mention this morning, and that is the price that was paid. The price for salvation. We don't need to ever minimize the wonderful work of salvation and all that Christ has done that men might be saved. The Bible says that he left heaven. He took upon him the form of a servant. Philippians chapter 2, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, who made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Every year at Christmas time, it's more prevalent in our thinking because we're considering the fact that Christ came into this world and was embodied in flesh, and Christ
came to provide salvation, and he came into that humble existence, that humble little family, and all of that that speaks of the fulfillment of the purpose and the plan of God. He came as a servant. He came in the form of humility and the likeness of man. Verse 8 it says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, the price that was paid. The great price. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That was the price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. His blood, the Son of God, who gave of himself that mankind might be saved. He was the substitute. He was the one that they were looking to all throughout the Old Testament. One of those multiplied thousands and thousands of animals that the blood was shed and the sacrifices were given. All of those were empty, vain gifts if it had not been for the fact that Jesus came and was that better sacrifice, was the ultimate sacrifice. And he came and gave of himself that men might be saved. Hallelujah. Who, verse Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a price. What a price that was paid, that you and I might know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it should be something very serious, and we should treat it this way. We should teach our children and young people that the gospel is not something to play around with. And the message of salvation is not just something to play around with, that you just live haphazardly and carelessly, but you understand the ultimate price that was paid, that we can be saved, and we're to understand the preciousness and the value of this salvation and treat it with this kind of value. Isaiah 53 and verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. The price that was paid, and he bore our sins. Hallelujah. He took upon himself our sins that we might be saved. And that should motivate us to declare the gospel everywhere we go, everywhere we go. In that funeral service Monday morning, I said a few things, you know, just to remember him, my uncle. But then the last 15 minutes, I did the best I could do to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the family had chosen a song that was an old gospel song that had been sung and written by country singers like Hank Williams. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness. Now I'm in light. Amen. I don't know the words exactly, but I couldn't have thought, they couldn't have chosen a better song for someone who lived in darkness. But suddenly the grace of God appeared to them, and they believed and reached out in faith and received salvation. And the light of the gospel shone bright in that hospital room. Amen. As I said, for the last 15 minutes or so, I talked to them about sin. I talked to them about the hopelessness of dying without Jesus Christ. But then I told them that the Bible says that that those that will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Those that will reach out in faith and confess their sins, they can be saved. And I spoke to them as best I could, and I prayed and called upon the Lord, asking the Lord, Lord, somehow, because many of these people are never going to walk, they're not going to walk into a church. They're not going to have any interest. They don't have any interest in the things of God. I've got one uncle that he's in one of my mom's older brothers. He's a great guy, but all of his life, he has
He has done nothing but bowl. He's like almost a professional bowler. And I'm talking 2 or 3, 4 nights a week. And one time my mom was talking to him and said, Charles, you need to get saved. You need to go to church. He said, Jewel, all that people do that go to church, it just takes all their life and their time up. And my mom was so tempted. She didn't. She was so tempted to say, and you go every night almost to that church of the bowling alley. And it sucked up all of your time and your energy. Let me tell you, people in sin are blind. They're just in darkness. They don't see themselves. That you could be almost 80 years old and you give all your time to something that's just a frivolous thing. When your soul is weighing in the balances. The third thing I want to describe this morning before we close this service this morning, and that is the scope of this salvation. Amen. Glory to God. This is the exciting part. Luke chapter 3 and verse 6. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Amen. Now the Lord hasn't come yet. I know He's coming soon. And when He does, then the door of grace, it's closing. It's closing, but it's not shut yet. There's still an opportunity. That means you can go talk to your loved ones and to your neighbors. You can be a witness to them. You can still live the life before them. You can still give to missions and go to missions and be involved in the work of evangelism. You can still reach out to people in need, because the scope of salvation is whosoever will believe upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Heaven is going to be populated with every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, every people, every ethnic group, every nation that the world is, in this world. Heaven is going to be populated with people who have heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know you're not all like me, but I love to read about these people and different people who have taken on the call of God to go into different places. Some that who track back into the hidden jungles of the Amazon. And Brother Joe Bearclough is doing that, riding those boats way into the Amazon jungles and searching out. And Brother Joe has researched different tribal groups and people to those that haven't heard the gospel. They'll get out of those boats and they'll have to hike for hours and hours and hours to get to a little remote village to find a group of people that maybe haven't heard the gospel or haven't had a complete presentation of the gospel. And there they go into that place to preach a gospel to a people. And there are going to be people that are going to be, reside in heaven with us, you and me, because the gospel has been carried into that Amazon jungle. Hallelujah. I love to read about those groups with mission aviation who fly into areas where you can't even get there by way of roads. They fly into those remote areas and drop leaflets and drop the Bible out to them and prepare the way. And then as opportunity comes, they land those planes in those remote places and present the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people, because that's the way. That's the scope of salvation. Whosoever will believe upon the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Amen. All men everywhere. We were talking with a brother last night about all the churches and the Pentecostals that are here in our county. Let me tell you, we got a lot of churches in Law County. And we're gaining a few just about every year. New ones spring up and new churches. And it's not all bad. It's not all a bad thing when new churches are started. I'm not saying that it is. But I tell you what, there's a lot of places where there's such a need. There's a lot of places where there's a great need. Some years ago, I looked into just researching different areas across this country. You can go to the West Coast and many of the Western coastal states, and they're few and far between. You can go up into the northern areas, and I know they're not as highly populated, but there are areas up there where it's not just that there's no Pentecostal church, there's not an evangelical church. I'm talking of cities with 30,000 people and not one evangelical church, not even a Catholic church in some of these remote places. You say, how can that be possible?
in America because we're sitting comfortable in the Bible Belt where we're stacked on top of each other almost with churches. And the gospel, the scope of it is men everywhere need to hear. Everywhere, all over the world, they need to hear. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's the scope of salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we need to have that kind of a mindset to recognize that God so loved the world. He so loved the world that He gave Himself for the world. That means all the peoples of the world. Amen. Even if they're embittered and even if they're hateful and even if they're involved in despicable, horrible sins. The most wicked and vile people, God so loved them that He gave His Son that person could be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The more we get close to the Lord and we become like Him, then we're going to have that same vision, that same burden and desire to see a world come and to know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It is His idea. It is His plan. Man is hopeless without of the Lord, but we've got to come to Jesus individually, and then we've got to spread the gospel to a world that is in need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I couldn't have ever imagined the significance of my mom getting saved when I was a young person, I was just a child. Oh, the power of that. The power of just one person in a family coming to know the Lord. And I've witnessed this over the years that many times the Lord raises up one person in that family and they become like the one that carries the burden for the rest. Amen. So if you find yourself in a family and not many of your family members are serving the Lord, God reached down in His mercy and He pulled you out of sin and He saved you. And now He's put you in a place to intercede for them and to be a witness before them and to live the life before them. To show the love of Christ to them and to pour out to them, to let them know that this is the only way through Jesus Christ. The Lord's, He positions us in families. He positions us in communities. He positions us in certain areas of responsibility because He wants us to be a light and He wants us to be salt and He wants us to have an influence on those that are around us and those that He gives us opportunity to reach. For the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing to know Jesus Christ. Let's stand together this morning. And let's just take a moment. Just lifting up our voice and our heart before the Lord. Thanking Him. Praising Him. Glorifying Jesus Christ. The one who has saved us. The one who has done this wonderful work of grace in our life. Hallelujah. Oh, we are grateful, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Oh, Lord, that somehow in Your mind, we can't comprehend it, Lord. But this wonderful plan of salvation came from the heart of God. Oh, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You loved us when we were so unlovely. Lord, that You cared about us, Lord, in our sin, when we did not deserve it at all. But I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You have reached down to where we are. And You have spoken to us and have given to us hope. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord.